Well, good morning, church. So good to be with all of you guys this morning. So excited to be here. You know, I will tell you, just as I was listening in to this morning's worship time, and as Zach kind of traveled through that incredible encounter between Jesus and Peter, and as we sang about these songs, about what it means that we together are part of this community that is more than just a gathering, it is the church of Jesus. It dawned on me that I don't think you or I have any idea what a privilege it is to be part of this global, generational, supernatural, tangible, beautiful, wondrous, powerful thing that we call the church. I really don't think we have any idea what a privilege it is that we are a participant in this story that is the body of Christ. It's an amazing thing. You know, over the last week and then the few weeks to come, we have made a decision to step out of the journey in the book of Acts for just a few weeks and just kind of take a look at who we are as a church and how we function as a church and why we do what we do. We are trying to answer the question just again for ourselves to be reminded of how we came about, what we have done, what we are doing, and what we want to do as a church. When you walk into the building, you see on the big wall there, it says, "This is Mosaic." And that ought to beg a question, right? If this is Mosaic, then what on earth is this? And that's really what we want to wrestle with a little bit. What is this thing called Mosaic? And so last week, if you were here, we traveled into the beginning of how we came about and why we are doing what we're doing. And ultimately, here's what we concluded last week, that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, this is Mosaic, better always be only Jesus. That it better be, because this church, any church, if we are not about bringing glory and honor and praise to the name of Jesus, to the wonder of his kingdom, and if we are not about making that kingdom known and living that kingdom out, then we functionally really are not the church. And so we talked last week about the idea that if this is about Jesus and not about us, then we need to be demonstrating our passion for him, not our passion for ourselves, and his passion for people. We love people because he loves people and because he's loving people in us and through us. And we recognized last week that if we are going to do that in a way that we are the people that God has made us to be as a collective, then we need to be daringly vulnerable with each other so that we can share ourselves, our mess, our stuff with each other and experience the healing that comes from that space of community so that we as a healed people can be a people that displays Jesus. If we're going to be healed, it better be about Jesus. If we're going to live, it better be about Jesus. That's what we concluded last week. And it makes perfect sense that if a church exists, it should only exist and only function for the sake of Jesus and his kingdom. Because when the church was ultimately declared by Jesus, it was declared as something that belongs to him and that is about him and that is for him. And so if we're going to be the church, biblically, we better be about him. See, when Jesus came to this planet, he came as the Messiah, the one who would come to set all things right, the one who would come to redeem all things, the one who would come to essentially encounter sin and death and darkness, hell itself, and would overcome. And so when the Messiah arrived, the Jewish people, because of promises in the Old Testament of one who would come to restore and to redeem and to set right, assumed, rightly so from their perspective, that when the Messiah arrived, he would come in some tangible form. Jesus showed up in a body, and then he would overthrow all the evil nations, and he would allow his people to rise up, and in so doing, he would redeem the planet. So when Jesus arrived and they started getting a clue that he was the Messiah, exciting times. He is going to set all things right, redeem all things, and get it done for us. And in that encounter with Peter, Jesus actually starts describing something outside of the box of the people then. See, in the Old Testament, there were all of these little scatterings of declarations that sounded like promises, because they were promises, more than promises. They were just facts. This is going to happen, that the people of God, the Jewish people then, were longing for. The prophets would be talking, for example, about reprimanding a group of people for the way that they're dealing with God, and then they would scatter into the reprimand. You know, this is how it's going to be one day, right? A great example of that is actually in Habakkuk. This is an example. There are other examples. This is one of them. Habakkuk the prophet is unpacking a sort of a reprimand to the people. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, he throws this into the mix, right? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let me read that again. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's quite an amazing statement, isn't it? That someday in the future, that this world that is so tumultuous will one day be covered, permeated, completely and totally covered with the glory of the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Kind of like the water covers the ocean. I mean, that's the point, right? It's an ocean because it's all covered in water. And he says, someday that's what it's going to be like. So with Jesus coming on the scene, you're like, he's doing it. He's doing it. And then he encounters Pete and he goes, who do people say I am? And Peter goes, well, they say you're the Messiah. You know, people say lots of things, but we know you're the Messiah, a declaration of who Jesus is. And then what does Jesus say? You're right. Well done, Pete. Double high five. Boom, boom. And let me tell you a little secret about how this is going to go down. I am going to build my church. And that church is going to move, and the gates of hell will not stand up against it. See, what Jesus was saying was not that the church is going to be so awesome that the gates of hell can't stand us. He was actually beginning to paint the picture that the gates of hell will not stand up against him. He's the one that the gates of hell can't stand up against. But where does he reside tangibly? In his body. And what is his body? The church. That's right. So the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, because the church carries who? Jesus. That's right. So later on, Paul will clarify this as the Spirit of God inspires Paul to write, and he will say something unbelievable that begins to clue us in as to how this plays out. In the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1, listen to what it says. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And he put all things under his feet. So the first he is God the Father, the second he is Jesus. And God the Father put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. So who was Jesus given to? To the church. And he was given to the church as head over the church and over all things. So that's pretty cool. Now look what he says. Given to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So here Paul says, you have to understand what the church is. It is the tangible body of Christ in which he resides by his Spirit. And when the church goes, there Jesus tangibly arrives. Jesus is ever present, obviously. But tangibly, just like when you were on the planet during the time that he was in his body that he resided in when he traveled those 33 years, you would experience Jesus tangibly when he actually came to your village and you were like, hey, and he was a famous rabbi. And when he showed up, what showed up with him? Power and redemption and grace and wonder and all of those things showed up with Jesus. And so now Jesus says, there will come a day where my body will be bigger than the one I reside in now, Peter. And I will fill that body, and wherever that body lands and plants, there I will tangibly land and plant. And that's a pretty cool thing. And so as we watch this thing unfold, we start realizing, wow, this thing we call the church, not just Mosaic, but the global church, is in fact absolutely and only about Jesus, because he fills us and we carry him into the world. And when we do, when we behave like his body carrying him to the world, extraordinary things begin to happen. Just like happened when Jesus showed up in villages while he walked the planet in that other body that he was in, right? Just like that, extraordinary things began to happen. And we have had the privilege of experiencing that here in our midst. At some point, Mosaic Church was planted, and it came here, and it landed in West Orlando. It is not the only expression of Jesus here, and it is not the pinnacle of expressions of Jesus here. It is one of the beautiful expressions of Jesus here. And we showed up and we started traveling down a road together. And as the church developed and grew, things began to happen. Here in our midst, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children that come from hard spaces and hard families have found safety in the families of this church through foster care and safe families and even adoption. Many children have found forever homes. Hundreds have found forever homes in this place because we came together as a community and we began to live out the realities of Christ. Millions and millions of dollars have been spent on those children. Millions and millions of dollars have been spent to make those realities come true, spent by us as a collective. We have seen widows cared for who would be floundering if they were not part of a community that could step in and could facilitate some of the things they needed. We have seen a city that we live in experience thousands and thousands and thousands of man hours of people volunteering, giving their time for the sake of nonprofits around our city. Thousands and thousands of hours. We have seen in our midst marriages that shouldn't have made it make it because we're part of community and we're daringly vulnerable and we give of ourselves and we engage in one another's stories. We have seen families not break up that should have if this had not showed up. And that's just the start. We've seen people's personal lives transform as they encounter Jesus and come up and through baptism publicly declare that and then go and live on mission as part of the body of Christ, carrying him into their workplaces and social networks and neighborhoods. And we have seen that expand. And on it goes of the stories that Jesus has affected because tangibly his body planted here in West Orlando. And did you know that it almost didn't happen? Like, I mean, legitimately, it almost didn't happen. We almost got to a place where everything I just said and everything you experience here and all of the wonders of student ministries and children's ministry and young adult ministry and ministry to marriages and ministry to families and ministry to those in the workplace and ministry to, you name it, all of that almost didn't happen. Because years ago, 15 or so years ago, when Brooke and I first showed up here to church to be a part of planting this church, a brand new work, we knew nobody other than an acquaintance, and we showed up here to begin, and we started meeting some people in our neighborhood and saying we're going to start a church. We came with a 3-year-old and a 5-week-old, packed our bags from where we were in Monterey, California, and rolled out here to get going. And that first 2-year journey was incredibly difficult and challenging. Before we rolled out here in Monterey, we met with some people in our home there, shared the vision of what God had given us to see this place become a place that is the redemptive experience of Jesus. And then we went up to Northern Virginia where my parents lived at the time, and they gathered some friends together and we had some friends up there, and we got at their house and we had a meeting there and we shared the vision there. And in those two spaces, some people hearing the vision of what God wanted to do in West Orlando as we went to plant got behind us, praying for us and even financially supporting us. A good example would be a woman that was up in Northern Virginia. I had never met her. She was a friend of my mom's. Her name was Penny. And my mom brought her to the meeting. She worked with my mom, and she listened to the story, and she felt compelled to be part of the story, so she committed $10 a month for a two-year period. And she said, I'll be faithful in sharing that. And so there were people like that that gave of themselves to be part of this story, big and small. And so we came. And that first year and a half, man, it was hard. I remember Virgin Records down by Downtown Disney, when it was called Downtown Disney. There's a big Virgin Records store over there where the bowling alley and stuff is now. And I would roll down to the Virgin Records store with my computer, and I'd go sit up at a little table at Virgin Records because I was so bored. My calendar is completely open, and I would flip the computer up, and I'd look at the 12 people that call Mosaic Home, and I go, if I call them again for the sixth time in 6 days, will I be a stalker? Because it's going to get super weird. Hi, it's Pastor Renew again. How are you? Didn't we talk yesterday? We did. So glad you're part of Mosaic. Are you coming this Sunday? That would get super weird, right? And so I would sit there and I got to work on something. I've got a day. I've got to work. And I would type stuff on the computer and vision things. And I don't know. I don't even remember what I did. I just remember sitting there going, this is not fun. An entirely open calendar. Now, I admit some days now I'm like, oh gosh, Virgin Records, open calendar. I mean, I could dream, can't I? But back then it didn't feel so fun, did it? And so the days went on, and we got to a stage in the church that typically happened in church planting where there are things you just cannot produce because you don't have the resources or the people yet. So things like an amazing kids ministry or an amazing student ministry, you can't really do that. So we had a little kids ministry for Sundays. We didn't have much of a student ministry back then. People that had come and joined the church that were families with teenagers, they loved Mosaic, but at a certain point they kind of had to go, look, we love it, but our teens are dying here because there's nothing for them. So we're going to go back to where we came from. And so about a year and a half in, people started leaving and going back to their churches. I totally got it. Breakfast after breakfast. Like, I get it. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't come to this church. I mean, I like the church, but yeah, if I had teens. And with those families, resources that they had left, because the people that stayed were all young adults, and they're awesome because they pour their lives out for you, but they don't make a ton of money. And so resources were low. People were not settling and staying because we didn't have what we needed. This is the plight of a church plant. And I remember thinking to myself, man, maybe I misheard God. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe this doesn't work. I got to face that reality. I remember one time going to the post office in Claremont. It's really just kind of tired and discouraged by all that was going on and thinking, this is not going to work. I got to face that. Went into the post office, opened the post office up, and I pulled out the envelopes, and one of the envelopes had this name on it. I knew immediately what it was. It was the envelope from Penny, her $10 check, faithfully sent every month. And I remember my first thought was, see, this is what I'm talking about. Like $10, two cups of coffee at Starbucks. I mean, really, I could go drink them right now and the $10 gone. If we're going to make the church work, how on earth does this actually help? And it's one of those moments where the Spirit of God, he does this on occasion to me. He kind of invades my space and my thoughts. And he went, listen, when you're done whining, can we have a chat? I mean, I'll give you some time if you need it. Feel free, walk the post office, vent it all out. And when you're done, we have a little conversation to have. So I usually know not to take much time to vent because he's just sitting there waiting and it's awkward. And so I'm like, all right, so what's the convo? I remember clear as day. It was almost a reprimand, but more of a statement of absolute certainty. The Spirit of God just went, you know, Penny can't really afford to send $10 a month. You know that, right? She faithfully writes that check every single month because you sat in a house and shared the vision I gave to you that you shared with her, and she believed me. And she believes in what's happening in Central Florida, and she doesn't even have to because she doesn't even live here. She faithfully sends $10 a month to tell you that the vision you shared with her is real and she believed me. And so here's the deal. As long as Penny sends those checks, you don't get to bail because she believes in you. And I remember standing in the post office, hearing that clear as day and going, all right, I walked out of that post office and I said, until the fruit of that vision is realized in this place, we will keep going if it kills us. And we did that because a $10 check from Penny showed up in a mailbox, and that $10, the money wasn't the point. The point was that we needed in that moment someone who couldn't afford to believe in us. And God used that moment to spark a movement that would continue to where we sit today. And we realize the fruit of what God was up to then. And we see it now playing out. And it's fun to be sitting here. It's fun to be part of this. But here's the reality. If that moment hadn't occurred in that post office, if somebody hadn't stepped in at the right moment with a bit of resource and a lot of belief, this story wouldn't be here today and everything that comes with it. While we sit here in this place, experiencing the fruit of God's grace and mercy as we get to throw all the stories around that we did earlier, hundreds of kids here, millions of dollars there, this and that, the next thing. Did you know that right now, this Sunday morning, all around our state and our country and our world, there are families that packed their bags, got their kids, got their spouse, rolled out to some place that didn't have what they could see as a great gospel-centric church that is about Jesus, that is going to carry the body of Christ to a place that they saw some place that God stirred in their heart and said, go here and plant a church. And 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, they planted that church. And this Sunday morning, this morning as they woke up, they were wondering to themselves, like, do we make it? Do we even make it? Is anybody going to show up? Are we making any difference? All of the cost and the time and the energy that we've poured into this, is it worth it? Am I cut out for this? Could I even do this? Do you know how church planting tests every bit of your insecurity? And goes, you're terrible. Nobody likes you. And then you got to fight with the gospel like it's not supposed to be about you, even though you feel like you're terrible. There's so much that goes on. And they're wrestling with it this morning, right now, as we sit here. Right now, they're rolling home after a morning where they realize, man, it was discouraging because the visions they've had in their head aren't playing out because another family just met with them and said, we can't stay. There's no youth group. And they're, at some point, going to roll into a post office somewhere or a playground somewhere or a park somewhere or a road somewhere, and they're going to think to themselves, man, I got to face the facts. This doesn't make it, and I don't cut it. And what they need more than anything else, is someone to show up in that mailbox and to shout at them, we believe in you. We know that there needs to be more churches that carry the reality of Jesus into places where he is not felt tangibly as much as he ought to be. We know that, and we know it's hard, and we believe in you, and we want you to keep going, and we're willing to put our resources where our mouth is and say, we're not just here to believe in you, we're here to help resource you. This is something that's needed. Somebody needs to be the $10 check for those church planters. And whenever we at Mosaic Church find out that somebody needs to be something redemptive for somebody else, what do we about it? You can say it out loud. We go do it. We don't sit around and talk about it. Oh, somebody needs to do something about it. We're like, no, we're going to do something about that. And so over the years we have, as we have become a place that God has blessed with resources and ability and things and people, we were able, are able, and continue to be able to step into the stories of church planters. You see, if we're going to be a church, this is Mosaic, if we're going to be a church that is about Jesus, and only about Jesus and his work, then we can't just be that here. We can't just be inwardly focused. We can't just be thinking about ourselves. We can't just be about Jesus in our midst and in our little Western Orlando or our little city. We need to be participants in the story of Jesus and his body expanding into every region of the world where he is not tangibly felt because there is not a gospel-centered church there. And so that's exactly what we do. We as a church, you and I, we, in our generosity and our work, we support church planters around the globe constantly. I don't know if you know that, but now you do. When you see this is Mosaic, what is the this? Part of that this is that we care about Jesus being everywhere through his body, and we're going to make sure that happens. So here's what it looks like. If you look at the map on the back here, here's what you and I participate in if you share your resources in this place. If you are generous here, then this is what you participate in. See those white dots all over the map? Those are regions of the world in which we currently support church planters. Each dot does not represent one church. Each dot represents a region where we may have 3, 4, 5 churches that we support in that region. So there's a number of churches represented there. And this is how you can read this map and tell the story. In Florida, right there, you see there's a white dot covering all of Florida. That's because in Florida, we're not just here, and we don't just have the Disney campus that speaks into a context that is unique in the Disney space, but we support other church planters in Florida who are currently planting churches. We support them financially. We support them with our relationships, with our resources, with what we know, with our training, everything else and anything else they need. We're constantly engaged. Then, besides Florida, because we should be seeing Jesus in his body expand in our state, because our state matters, doesn't it? Because we're here. Our city is our responsibility. Our state matters. But then we also want to go into the rest of our nation. So we picked a region, specifically the Northeast, because in the Northeast, when you try to plant churches in the Northeast is not like that very much. And I don't totally blame them. A lot of times the reason people don't like church plants is because people that planted churches before that or grew churches before that weren't about Jesus. They were about themselves and they made a giant mess of things. And you know, many of us have been hurt by people that called themselves churches and behaved other than a church should. And so you're like, don't need that, don't want that, and Jesus is psycho. The reality is he's not psycho. The church has often been psycho. And so when you come in with a church that loves Jesus, there's skepticism off the bat, and the Northeast is no exception. Plus, we experience this idea of progressiveness in our nation being an abandoning of the realities of Jesus, and the Northeast experiences themselves as progressive, and so they're like, yeah, don't like churches. So the guys that plant there with their families, it's hard ground, it's tough territory. They work hard and they see little fruit. So what should we do? Should we bail on the Northeast and move out? No, we need to press in more than ever. And so when those guys need a $10 check in the mail to tell them we believe in you, we're with you, we want to make sure we are that belief system, that $10 check. So in the Northeast, we support a number of churches up there. And then Latin America is a giant focus for us because we see God's work in Latin America as the gospel-centered church, the church that understands who Jesus is and that this is about him, is expanding in that nation. We want to get behind that nation. So in Central America and South America, we support church plants all over that area. And you see the white dots in the regions that we currently support multiple church plants. We also go into Latin America. Often when I travel, I go to Brazil, I go to Guatemala, I go there to speak into, encourage, and train church planters so we can see more gospel-centered churches planted all over Latin America. And then besides the two regions that we feel a calling to, the Northeast and Latin America, we want to be participants in the rest of the globe as well. So we have church plants in Africa, in Europe, and in Asia because we want to be in all of these regions. And each of those dots representing spaces where we are seeing churches born and we're getting behind them, we're supporting them, and we are financing a portion of what they need to do. You may not know this here, but 10% of our total budget goes directly to church planting. 100% out the door, it goes to church planting. That's not everything that goes out from this church. That's just church planting. All of our justice and mercy works, where we have people on the ground doing incredible things, that's above that 10%. The things we do in our city, that's above that 10%. 10% of our total budget is in support directly of church planters around the world, training them, equipping them, supporting them, and making it happen so that they're sustainable. And we press into that. So when you're here and you share your resources generously with this place, know that the second you share resources here, immediately you are a participant in that story right there. You are part of supporting churches. You and I become the penny for a bunch of church planters that need a penny in their mailbox. But it's not just the dots on the map we care about. It's the dots that aren't yet on the map that we care equally about. Do you see that map? It's way too blue. We need a bunch more white dots, don't we? So as part of our effort as a church that is about Jesus, we want to make sure we're not just funding and sustaining current church plants, but we are preparing for the future of more church plants. So we here at Mosaic Church participate in multiple ways in equipping and training and getting ready church planters. We have a residency program here that runs 2 years. One of our residents, for example, is Eddie. He is from Brazil. He came here. He's been here a year. He's got another year to go. He wanted to get trained up as a church planter so he could go out and plant among his people in Brazil. We found out that most of Brazil is moving to Orlando. So you're like, wow, they're all coming here, right? And so what an amazing thing that God would send Eddie here that potentially could actually plant in our city among his people so that he can speak into them. Because God loves all people, all language groups, and he intends the church to be his body to who? To everyone. So if we have barriers like language that we can't overcome, then we need to overcome those barriers with other parts of the body like Eddie. So we train him up and our residents up to be able to be ready to go out and plant churches. We have a church planting school here at Mosaic Church through Acts 29, which is a church planting movement. People show up here every month to go through 2 years of schooling outside of the residency program where they are being trained up to be prepared and ready to be sent out to plant churches. We also have a cohort that meets here, a group of people, of current church planters in our city. Some of them are associated with some of the networks we are, like Acts 29, and some of them are not. We just open it up and say, if you're a church planter in our city and you are in the process of those early years and it's tough, come and hang out with us once a month. You know what we do at that time? We pray a lot together. We encourage each other. We share things we're learning. And I get to speak in with a couple of other people that have gotten to the place where their churches are bearing the kind of tangible fruit where it's not a daily wondering whether you're going to make it. And I get to say to them, a church will say, man, we're 2.5 years into the story and it's discouraging. Like, it doesn't seem like there's any traction. And then we just lost some people and I'm not sure how we do this. And I get to say, hold on, you know you're way ahead of where we were at 2.5 years, right? And they go, what? I'm like, oh, you thought this happened year one? No. Year five, come back and talk to me and you'll still be ahead of me. See, a lot of times guys just need to know, oh, this thing grows up. It like becomes mature and people start actually engaging. You're like, yeah, if you persevere and plug away. So we have a cohort here where we can speak in and they can speak in and we can encourage each other. And then I and multiple of our team members get to travel to places around the world on occasion to go speak into church planters and other nations and train them up and encourage them and equip them so that they will sustain. You see, if we're going to be a church that says we are about Jesus, then we have to be a church that constantly expels resources and energy into making sure his body expands into regions of the world where we are not. And that is what we want to do. We want to do that because that is the mandate of Scripture. The mandate of Scripture is to go. Even Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in the second letter, 2 Timothy, that we'll get to in 2047, I think, because it's the last letter that Timothy writes, I mean, that Paul writes from prison, as he's writing that letter, closing out his life story, he says to Timothy, the things you learned from me, pass on to good men so that they too can carry them and teach them to others. This was not just a discipleship reality, it was a church planting reality. You make sure this goes beyond you. Otherwise, you're not functioning as the church. And so we are going to expel resources to plant. And when we do, we suddenly become participants in stories that aren't just dots on a map, but they are real people with real struggles that we become the $10 check in the mailbox for. One of the many stories that you and I have been able to participate in being that $10 check for, if you are someone that gives faithfully here, is a story out of the Northeast. And I want you just to hear this because I think you'll be incredibly encouraged by what we're getting to do as a church that is about Jesus, not just here, but around the world, take a look at the incredible things we get to participate in because we are supporting and we are funding church plants around the globe. Watch this.
My name is Dan Coe. This is my wife, Caroline. I'm the pastor of Seven Mile Road Church in Malden, Massachusetts. Malden is a city just north of Boston, probably about 6 to 7 miles north of the city center. We're the last two stops on the Orange Line, so it's a very close city to Boston. Malden in particular has over 62,000 people living in it, and the most notable thing about Malden is the large ethnic minority population. It's the most diverse city in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I moved here in 2008. I was a single seminary student, and I lived on the North Shore of Boston going to seminary, and I lived in an empty house basically with two other guys, single guys, and we had a very empty house that needed to be filled. So we went to Craigslist to go look for a couch. And there was a man that was giving away a couch. So I clicked on his thing, told him, hey, I'd love to come pick up your couch. He said, hey, come down to my place and pick it up. Got to his house, and we got to talking about where he was moving to and why I was moving here. I told him, I'm coming here to go to a theological training, is what I told him. This is what I tell people that don't know anything about seminary. So I said, I'm going to theological training school. And he said, what? Like, I'm leaving Boston to go plant a church in Philadelphia. And I said, tell me more about that, because I want to plant a church in Boston. He said, there's a church here in Boston called 7 Mile Road Church that's sending me to plant a church in Philadelphia. And I said, I need to know more about that. And he said, that's perfect, because they're about planting churches. They're about reaching Bostonians. And so the very next week, I went to a 7 Mile Road gathering. It was still a pretty small church. Went there, and I heard the gospel preached. I saw a bunch of Bostonians that were being reached, and I was like, this is it. And I haven't left since. And so I've grown to pastor that church, the original church, for a little while. And then we planted 7 Mile Road Malden back in 2014. Church planting is a lot harder than I ever imagined. Probably the hardest, most surprising thing for me is how it's brought about my own insecurities. There are so many Sundays, so many times when I'm thinking and praying about the church where I'm asking the question, am I fit for this? Like, am I still able to do this? Like, is God still going to use me? Did I hear it wrong? Like, maybe God wasn't calling me to plant a church. There's so many instances where God is refining me as a human being, as a son of God, and moving me to trust Him. Church planting, for all its strategies, for all its programs that you can implement and plan for, none of that ultimately matters. And it's really made me depend on the Spirit, depend on Jesus to do what only He can do. There have been so many confirmations that the Holy Spirit is at work here. Mosaic Church has been such a blessing to us because, like I said, they have been partners in the sense that they're friends. Like, I've gotten to know Gabe and I've gotten to know Justin really well, and they are brothers that I can just share my struggles with, and they can pray for me on the phone or in person when they come visit. Without my knowledge, I saw that Mosaic was starting to give to 7 Mile Road, and it was a great surprise to me. And that allowed us to then go hire a part-time worship director. And so we've hired one since then. So your contributions have directly helped us to make Jesus known, especially in the Sunday context, as we sing to Jesus and as the congregation grows in how they know and follow Jesus.
And that is one story of many. That is one story of many that we participate in as a church, as we get behind, encourage, relationally connect with, and financially support church planters around the world and here in the state of Florida. This is how we get to do that. And you may be sitting there right now thinking, okay, that's pretty awesome. But at the end of the day, what part am I playing in this? Because the church is us collectively. He resides in us as a collective, as the body of Christ. And that is a great and right question you have to be asking, and it's actually much simpler than you think. Firstly, the simplest way is simply this. because we will always push out 10% or more of our budget into church planting, the generosity that comes out of this place automatically also increases that 10%, right? And so when we collectively give generously here, then we are preparing to support more and more church planters like Eddie, who's going to at some point get ready to launch out, and others that are part of our story here and a part of the larger networks around the nation. We want to get behind more church plants, and we get to do that when we continue to press into collective generosity. Second of all, you, and most importantly, you get to leave this place and go actually live out being the church. Because if we stop being the church, both in our collectiveness and in our individuality, then we will soon forget all of this. So we need to every day take the gospel that is preached to us by the one another's in this place and go live it out in our workspaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our social networks, and among the people that we reside with in our homes. And if you are going out and doing that, you are doing a great justice for the body of Christ, and in so doing, for the glory of Christ. When you or I stop living this out in our everyday spaces, then we diminish as being the body of Christ. People often ask me, I'm here, I want to help, what can I do? And I tell them always, start with this. Actually follow Jesus out there, and you'll be doing a great deal for this place and a great deal for the global church. And then when you come in here, when you're doing that, if you have more time, then serve here, because then you're inspiring others to be able to go do that. And that's pretty fun. Besides that, you can also go. You go, what do you mean go? Like get on an airplane and fly somewhere to go hang out with a church planter. We send trips throughout the year to all of our church planting partners and all of our justice and mercy partners around the globe. So there are trips going constantly all over the world. And what church planters need more than resources is human beings who love Jesus showing up and telling them, we're here to help, we love you, you're awesome, stay the course. You want to be a penny? It's better than being a check in the mail when you actually become the human that goes. And so that takes time off work, that takes energy, that takes resources to get on planes and go. But we want you to go. We want you to say, I want to go up Northeast, I want to go Latin America, I want to go Africa, I want to go somewhere and go hang out with church planters and tell them I'm here for a week, I'm here for 2 weeks, what do you need? We'll get you ready, we'll get you on the right teams, and we'll send you out. And for some of you here, it might mean going longer than 2 weeks. For some of you, you might say, you know what? I want to go for 3 months. I want to go for 6 months. I want to go land with one of our church planters and be for them what they lack. Can you imagine what it would be like if a planter in the Northeast or a planter in Latin America or a planter, someone in Asia had one of us show up, a family from here show up and say, for the next 6 months, we'll run your kids' church. You don't need to. Do you know what that would do? And we get to actually pray those kinds of prayers. God, would you want me to go? And all of you are going, do I have to pray that? Well, you don't have to, but you ought to. And so we get to participate as a collective and as individuals in the extraordinary, wondrous privilege of not just being part of this local expression of the global church, but a part of the global expression of the global church. And why? Why would we do this? Why would this need to be part of the this in This Is Mosaic? Folks, because the dream is simple, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would fill the earth like the waters fill the sea. That's what we're working at. That's what Jesus is up to. And he allows us to be the body through which he accomplishes that. Do you get now why I started this morning saying I don't think you or I have any idea what a privilege it is that we are part of the global, wondrous, powerful, supernatural, extraordinary story that is the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ? It is unbelievable that we're part of it. We shouldn't be, we don't deserve to be, and yet we are. And that privilege is one we should not take lightly, but we should engage with all of our hearts. And when we do, we will not only see redemptive stories born here and in our city, but we will see them born all over the world, and we'll be able to say, we were a small part of that story. I was the penny that got that story going. Did you know that over 2,000 people every weekend attend the dots on that map? And their marriages, their lives, their children, their stories are being transformed because churches are on the ground and being sustained because we have been invited to participate. This is Mosaic. Only, always, about Jesus and for Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the unbelievable privilege we have to be able to be part of stories like the one in Massachusetts, like those in Latin America, like those in Africa and Asia and Europe that we have been invited by your grace to be a participant in. Thank you for all those in this room that are in the process of being trained up or even entertaining the idea of going and being part of church planting teams. Thank you for all those in this room that have gone on short-term trips to encourage our church planters and for all those that are already in the process of preparing to go. Thank you for every person in this room that shares their resources in this place with this collective. Thank you for their participation and generosity that allows us as a collective to be able to get behind so many church plants and be a part of so many amazing stories. Thank you, God, for the amazing privilege you have given us as a church to not have to worry day in and day out about how we are going to survive, but to be able to become the belief that other church plants need in their season of survival, where we get to say to them, I know it's hard. I know you feel like throwing in the towel, but don't, because we're here with you. We're here for you. We believe in the vision that God has given you, because we have seen clearly that you are about Jesus. God, be with our church planters around the globe that we partner with. And be with us, that we would be you in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, our homes, our social networks, in every space we find ourselves, so that you would be tangibly known as you work in and through your body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Amen.